You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. BYT Radio stands for Brightest Young Things Radio. Even though this is not a radio station, it's technically a radio station, even though they don't use the airwaves. We're on Full Service Radio, which is broadcast out of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. in Adams Morgan, typically a beautiful, beautiful neighborhood. Today, a very ugly neighborhood. It is snowing in Washington, D.C. on November 15th. Jack, the man that runs the station, the man that's in the booth right now. Jack, how many people have brought up the snow today to you?
Everybody that's come
right.
in.
That's right, because we're not a real city and we're afraid of the weather. Welcome to Washington, D.C. Brightest Young Things is a website that focuses on arts and culture in and around Washington, D.C., Chicago, and New York City. With us on today's show is a local, now a local, not always a local, though. Not from here originally. A place with even less snow, and we'll sadly get to that. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Titt is with us today. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, why last name Titt? Why do this?
It's a whole history with bands I was in, and it's a whole punk thing.
Let's get to it, because we're going to talk about punk rock, which is things that men do.
All right. Well, it was the band Substitutes, my high school band. Three of us were in the band, three syllables, Joe Subs, Kevin Titt, Will Toot. And that's it.
Okay.
Nothing more to it.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, there's no people. It's, I guess it sounds bad, but
it does sound bad.
It's just that.
One of the first things we ever talked about are your tattoos.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Do you know which band I'm referring to?
The Chicago one?
The Chicago one. What's the band you have tattooed on yourself?
Screeching Weasel.
Why is that now problematic?
I guess. You should just not get bands tattooed on you.
Why?
Because you never know what they'll do.
Why?
Oh, that band specifically. Well, Ben punched a woman
there
in the face.
There we go.
At South by Southwest.
Not that long ago.
It was like 2011.
That's
I
not
remember
that long ago.
It wasn't.
That's
I remember the ago. Moment someone put the phone in my face to show me that video at a bar. And ever since then, I always felt weird about having this huge tattoo on the middle of my forearm.
Yeah, but you've not covered it up.
Yeah, because, you know.
But when were you living in Hawaii at the time?
Yeah.
So you were wearing more t-shirts.
Yeah.
And now you can cover up your horrible tattoos. I'm not saying your tattoos are horrible.
Yeah.
Covering tattoos of bands that have horrible men in them.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how old are you?
I am 29.
You're 29.
Yep.
I'm 35.
There we go.
We're both too old to like punk rock and roll as a lifestyle, yet you embrace it still.
No, yeah, I mean, it's just a data. It's what I do. I don't know.
Why?
What do you mean? Why?
Why? Why? Why do you still like the things that you liked as a child?
Oh, they changed, and because you know those things make me happy.
Okay, so here's the episode title. Here's what I've been wondering about. When did you realize punk rock is the music for conservative men in America?
But it's always been that way.
But have you always known that?
No.
Okay.
Because I didn't care. I didn't care in Hawaii. I didn't care about any of that. But now that I'm out here, I definitely notice things a lot more.
Okay. When you zero to what in Hawaii? How long were you in Hawaii?
On and off till up to 3 years ago.
Okay. So you were there from zero to 26.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were growing up, what were you listening to?
All sorts of stuff. I remember at first, like, my dad liked hip-hop. My mom liked R&B and shit.
Okay.
And then I got into skateboarding, Tony Hawk games.
So Tony Hawk games is where you're
segwayed. All those old skateboard PlayStation games had good soundtracks. I remember hearing Black Flag Rise Above on one of those, and I really liked that song, and I put it on repeat. And then from there, I got in, like, Papa Roach and Blink-182. Went on a weird path.
That's not a weird path. That path, it's the Warped Tour path.
Yeah, pretty much. I got the compilations and stuff.
Okay, so far you've mentioned a few acts that I'm going to write down and revisit. They are very important to this conversation. It is a Black Flag.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned... I'm not going to talk about Papa Roach. I don't really care
don't
about Papa
to.
Roach. But you did mention Blink-182.
Yep.
Actually, no, let's talk about Papa Roach a little bit because...
Go for it.
We're going to tie them to Warped Tour.
You can. Yeah.
Okay, let's continue your journey. So I get the Tony Hawk, Black Flag into the Warped Tour. Then what?
Then... All those, every Tony Hawk game had a really good soundtrack.
So you were still the band. With the Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was also a military kid. So
okay, military.
I lived in Germany through most of this for a couple years.
Did you ever identify with your Dee Dee Ramones, with your former service brats, the kids that didn't identify? Did you understand when they were singing about Nazis what that meant?
Not until way later.
Okay.
I didn't pay attention to
okay.
that.
So you just liked the sound?
Yeah, I just liked the way it sounded, and I was... Parents divorced. I was angsty. I like skateboarding. And
sure.
I like this hard music.
You're checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I was huge into Slipknot, man.
And look, you're a guy. We've established that you're a man. That also matters.
Totally. It's,
okay. So you're in high school. Slipknot. Listening to the album Iowa.
Not high school. All middle school.
Middle school. I
high
apologize.
School, I got
oh,
into
yeah,
all
age
the
difference.
Punk shit.
I apologize. Age difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I came back to Hawaii, I met a bunch of weird punks, and that's when I got introduced to weed and...
So high school means weed and punk bands.
Yeah, once started going to punk shows, started playing in bands.
Who was playing? Was it all local bands in Hawaii?
All local bands. The first show I saw was this thing called Punk on a Rock.
Punk
and they
on
had,
a Rock.
Suicide Machines were there.
Okay.
Fucking Strung Out, I think, played.
Okay.
I didn't really like. I like Suicide Machines. That's the only band I really remember.
That's fine. Okay, so high school. You're listening to local bands and a handful. You're not listening to whatever's on the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Yeah.
You're seeing mostly local bands.
Mostly local
and
bands.
And then you decide to start to play in a band.
Yeah.
And that's when the substitutes come in.
That's where, pretty much, yeah, around that same time.
Now, how long do the substitutes last?
We just toured 2 years ago on the East Coast.
So you're still around.
Yeah, when I go back to Hawaii every now and then.
And you have a band now in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Called Chill Parents.
Yes.
Which is a very D.C. sounding name. It's a great band name.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so you're an adult man. You're 29.
29.
I don't know you because of music.
No, you don't.
I know you because of standing up comedy.
Yep.
Now, when did you start doing the standing up of the jokes?
When I was in Hawaii.
When you were in Hawaii.
People would see me playing bands, and they're like, hey, you're funny. Hey, try this. And then I tried that. And then I stuck with that, and it was easier to go do comedy by myself than have to rely on other people
and
bands. And
we have a very, very, very similar background. The difference is I stopped doing the band stuff around your age, actually.
Wow. Well,
once I hit 30, I was like, I'm not scheduling practices anymore. This is just too much. I'll just keep doing
this.
It's
not easy.
So now you have a thing called Punk House Comedy.
Yeah.
What is Punk House Comedy?
Well, it started with just going to shows at different punk houses around town and asking the people, hey, can I throw a comedy show here? Has anyone done that? And most of the time, no one's ever asked to do that.
Uh-huh.
So I would do it.
Okay.
And I would have a band play to, you know, have everyone happy. Like, oh, maybe you didn't like the comics, but this sick band's playing. So, you're right, it's a win-win for us all.
Do you see the similarity in the punk scene and the stand-up scene?
No. I do, but I don't.
Okay, please elaborate.
I do see a lot of like DIY ethic in comedy, which I think is really cool.
Okay.
But I also see a lot of the morality is not the same.
The morality in what?
And just
like
social
there,
situations and
there's
stuff.
There's more morals in punk or more morals in stand-up? There's more. Okay, great. Let's discuss this. So I don't necessarily disagree, but let's listen. Let's like think about all the bands you just mentioned. Black Flag.
Yeah.
Blink-182.
Yeah.
Suicide Machines.
Yeah.
Strung Out.
Uh-huh.
Do you see a common denominator with all of those bands?
Yes.
What?
Of those. I don't know. They're bands?
They're all dudes.
They're
all dude bands. The stand-up scene is a little bit more diverse in that way.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of bands I didn't name because I was listening to the garbage that was fed. Well, not garbage, but a lot of it was
garbage.
No, it wasn't. No,
it was. You listened to horrible music and it formed who you are as a human being is what I'm trying to get at.
Debatable. I think like there's a bunch of... The older I got, the more I realized, oh, shit, there's all this
okay,
really
so give me
stuff.
Something now that you're enjoying.
Now that I'm enjoying...
Yes, give me a band
Screaming
that,
Females is one of my favorite bands.
Okay, so Screaming Females is a band that did not exist when you were a child because
they're
roughly your age.
10 years ago, so when I was 19.
Yeah, when you were 19. Yeah, that's... So, okay. So they're like the first of the like progressive, modern... But would they even identify as punk?
I would... And see, that's the thing.
Okay, so we have Jack nodding and said yes.
I 100%.
I would disagree completely.
See,
if anything, they're a rock and roll band, and if I had to subcategorize them, I would go garage rock. Can we play a little bit of Screaming Females just so we could establish what we're talking about here? So let's talk about the actual sound. You are in punk bands. Those four bands, like them or not, those are all punk bands. All right. Black Flag is the most punk. Sure, Blink-182. See, this to me is, this is garage rock.
But see, that...
It's too slow. You could actually understand it. It's not pop rock. It's fuzzy in a good way. We could fade it out. There's way too much musicianship to call that punk rock.
I don't know. I disagree.
I am also, by the way, using punk rock as a derogatory term at this point. Yeah, so that's another. That. And I like that band, so that's why I'm doing this. Okay, so strung out of the four bands listed here, the worst of them, Blink-182 is the best because they make the most money, baby. Vegas but, residency.
Yeah. Oh, see, and that's a whole different thing.
Okay, let's talk about all this.
Blink is a band that when they, I got real into them growing up.
I'm not opposed to Blink.
But they're, when Travis joined the band, it got, that was the downslope.
So once they decided to make money, you're like, too much of this. Get out of here with your Aquabats beats.
It wasn't as good. Dude Ranch is the last great album they ever put out.
Yeah, you're wrong. They have yet to release a great album. Dude Ranch is their like maybe third best record. Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. No, I take that back.
What?
Nope, I take it back. The live album that came out, I think
that's a fun one. I grew up
because that secret that. Song is the best Blink-182 song. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's not your because that's the one that has the first three records. I don't think it has Take Off Your Pants and Jacket yet. I think it's post Enema.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, it's right after.
So
Enema.
That's to me that's their best. Then I would go probably Enema, then Take Off Your Pants, then maybe Dude Ranch.
But you're
actually
wrong.
No, I'm going to take it back. Is the newest one California?
I don't know.
I'm going to put California higher than Take Off Your Pants. Here's why.
No.
They're very realistic of who they are now in a great way. And I've grown accustomed to Travis's frantic, I get paid by the hit drumming. So I get it now. And I like Matt Skiba a lot more because he doesn't whine as much.
Yeah, but that's not that band.
That's literally that band. They make the money. They sing the songs.
It's gross, though. See, that's okay. What's gross. That's when that's...
Okay, well,
they were good up to fucking Dude Ranch.
No, they weren't.
And that was it.
No, they weren't. No,
they were.
They were okay. The first record is okay at best.
For what it was great.
No, it wasn't. That's the Hawaiian you. You're too calm. No. Okay, so the reason why I specifically wanted to talk to you this week, it all boils down to Queen.
Okay.
Okay, Queen's new, not Queen's movie, but the movie based on Freddie Mercury's life, but you know, the not gay part. They completely whitewashed that.
Oh.
Yeah. You know about this, Jack, right? The Queen movie with horrible reviews that was supposed to be the Sacha Baron Cohen vehicle that was like all about Freddie Mercury's actual life, that didn't get made. Instead, they got the guy from The Robot Show, which is fine. He looks like the guy. Good for him.
I mean, estates are like a complicated thing.
Yes, understood. But I just watched this BBC documentary about Queen from 2015, and the guy that handles Freddie Mercury's estate that was given to him, like, here's all the money, here's my estate. What's the one thing Freddie Mercury said is, don't make my life boring.
Yeah.
Which is what they did with the movie. Okay, so I'm in a Queen mode because it's the thing I'm trying to figure out if I should see it. My mother-in-law saw the movie, and that makes me happy. I'm glad that she's seen movies about Freddie Mercury, kind of. Anyways, I'm watching these documentaries about Queen. I'm watching a lot of late night because that's what I do. Mike Myers was on Colbert. Okay, Mike Myers plays an amalgamation of a man of a bunch of record executives in the movie, the Queen movie, right?
Okay.
And his entire point is to say no one will play Bohemian Rhapsody. They only like 3-minute songs. No one will like this. Okay, so that makes you instantly think of Wayne's World, right? Because in Wayne's World, even though Freddie Mercury died the year prior, that put Queen back on the map. That put their greatest hits back on the map. Who directed Wayne's World?
Who?
Penelope Spheres. Okay. Penelope Spheres started with documentaries. Jack, do you know where I'm going with this?
I know.
You do?
No, land the plane.
Penelope Spheres is on the map because she directed arguably the most important punk rock documentary of all time, The Decline of Western Civilization. So.
That was a good road you took us.
Thank you. Yeah. Caveat, Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, one of the funnest movies of all time. Have you ever seen that one?
Seen that
you ever seen that one, Jack?
The metal one?
That's the metal one.
I haven't seen it.
So fun. The only person that comes off cool is Lemmy, which is true. Lemmy hated his appearance in that. He really hated her. Everyone else comes off as like the most douche-tastic possible person in the world. And I apologize for using douche-tastic because like so many people use it. I could have written this out. Anyways, The Decline of Western Civilization Part 1 instantly made me think of Kevin Titt because Kevin, you are the only person right now in Washington, D.C. that I like as a human being that is using the word punk in a good way. Now, You have a tape series where you record stand-up shows at Smash Records, and then those shows will be released in limited edition tape runs. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that is part of Punk House Comedy.
Yes.
So I'm watching this documentary, and I'm thinking of what you're doing, and I'm thinking of all the bands that are in that, and I'm thinking of all the bands that came before them and all the bands that have come from since. And it made me realize punk rock, the way we think of punk rock, is the music for conservative men in America.
And why is that?
Because if you look at the bands in The Decline of Western Civilization, we're glorifying bigotry.
Yes, they were.
We're glorifying mental illness without treating it.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying that it's okay to be bad at what you do if what you do is confrontational to others. There's no sense of pride or self in that. There is one decent band in that being said, I liked, past tense, so many of the bands in this movie. It features Black Flag, it features X, it features The Germs, it features Fear, probably the most problematic of all the bands. Yeah. And a few more, is that correct?
Not
I
many
I feel like
more.
There's
yeah.
one, there's
Alice
like that.
Alice Bags.
Is it the Alice Bags is the one I forgot. Okay. So, every single one of these bands is a problem. All of them.
Yeah, well...
It starts with Black Flag, and they're like, I don't like hippies. Hey, I don't like hippies either.
No, they were cool with the hippies.
They're cool to a point with the hippies. But if you see the show, if you see the crowd, they're yelling about depression. That's great. That's a great sense of self. But no one's actually treating their depression.
It was early. Hey, okay. I'm not defending it. You're right. All those bands were horrible.
Okay.
And I'm like, God, well, fucking when they were interviewing Darby Crash, like, this guy sucks.
Darby Crash does suck. Darby Crash is clearly unwell, mentally unwell.
Yeah.
There's so many slurs, so many gay slurs throughout the movie.
Very homophobic.
They never acknowledge that Pat Smear is actually gay. Pat Smear doesn't acknowledge that he's actually gay.
Yeah.
It's so closeted and bigoted, it's very difficult to watch.
There was a clip when Black Flag was playing White Minority, and then I saw like a black dude in the crowd, like, you're trying to have a good time, but
oh,
it's gotta be weird.
For the listener at home, we should establish that you are not a white man.
Nah.
Okay, so all of these bands, to me, incredibly problematic. So let's go backwards. How did this thing start? Okay, one step prior to the bands in this movie and The Decline of Western Civilization, we have the Sex Pistols.
Yeah. Who Johnny Rotten sucks.
He sucks as a human being, but more importantly, sucking as a human being, one of their songs, Bodies, is a pro-life song.
Yeah, see, I never listened. I never cared about
that. Corporate entity.
Yeah, they're made up.
Which is fine. They're essentially a boy band, which is fine. Just that's the opposite of punk.
Yeah, it's not.
Johnny Ramone was a lifelong Reagan Republican.
Yes, he was.
That's okay.
He sucks.
He sucks.
I love the Ramones. That guy sucks.
Love the Ramones. One of my favorite bands. Today or Love Tomorrow World. One of the best songs of all time.
In line.
Let's go back even further. You go to the New York Dolls. We have the MC5, and we have Iggy and the Stooges. Three bands way better than all of the bands we just mentioned in terms of political ideologies. None of them lasted to the start of punk rock due to drugs, due to death, and due to imprisonment.
Wasn't the Stooges...
Well, they broke up in 74, 75, and then Iggy did solo stuff with Bowie.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they reformed much, much, much later, never really got the credit. There was really no ethos behind the Stooges other than, like, we're from Michigan, let's party. They were more of a blues rock band that, like, couldn't really play the blues that turned into punk.
Yeah.
And this matters. Here's why. You can't sell that shit. You could easily sell the Ramones. You could easily sell the Sex Pistols. You can easily sell all the bands in Decline of Western Civilization. You are a 29-year-old man. You did not grow up like loving these bands when they were coming up.
No, I didn't.
You were on like the fifth wave, essentially.
Yet
you still identify as punk in Washington, D.C., and you think it's an okay thing.
Yeah, because that's not my... I guess I have a different definition of it. I don't think you can really put it in a box.
I want to know your definition, and I want to put it in a box.
Yeah, I can't.
Give me your definition, please.
It's forever changing.
That's fine. Let's go with it right now at 12:20 on November 15th, 2018. Kevin's definition of punk is...
That there is no set in stone definition.
There is no set in stone definition. So that means literally anything is punk. There needs to be some parameters here.
Like you just said Screaming Females. You didn't consider that punk.
No,
like
I don't.
Do.
I consider them a good
but
rock.
I do. So okay. It's like I can't really... It's hard to articulate.
I'm with him on this, too. I think punk is a vibe, not necessarily a genre, the way you're trying to define it.
Okay. Then let's establish the vibe.
It's Well, it is what it is. Just chill, man. It's just having.
Did you just decide to define punk with the name, the first word of the name of your band?
Hey, you know, it is what it is, baby.
Is anybody in the band a parent?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you the only one that's not a parent?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Hey, I know.
All right, cool.
I'm answering.
All right. So, Jack, what's punk to you?
It's funny because the way you're describing it kind of goes against what I would think of it as, which is sort of a anti-establishment feeling, a kind of like almost pirate community thing.
Okay, now, were you ever part of pirate radio?
No.
Okay, I was part of pirate radio. Were you ever part of pirate radio?
Like traditional pirate radio?
Like traditional pirate radio, like we're going to steal the airwaves, pump up the volume style pirate radio.
That sounds punk as hell to me.
Okay, now, 100% of those people would say they hated all these bands that I dealt with there. Now, to be fair, they were very closed-minded and very punk in that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah.
So, I love the idea of what you're saying, but the reality does not reflect that. The reality reflects Proud Boys that sing along to White Minority, not understanding the premise of the song, White Minority. I feel like 2018, we've now established that punk is actually the most conservative art form. Punk rock helped usher in the hatred of disco. It helped usher in the bigotry. It helped institutionalize ways to look to like a certain type of music. Warped Tour took that a step further in a not good way. They have a lot in common. We're ignoring mental health issues. We have a very limited amount of musicianship, and we're proud of that.
That's just capitalism doing to music what it's always done to music.
I would disagree completely.
The same thing about metal or hip hop or
Hip hop doesn't do that. Number one, metal totally does that.
Hip hop they put a bunch of money on people to just keep saying all this wild shit.
Well, that part is
pumping
true.
It out.
That part
that's
is
the
true.
Same thing.
In terms of sonic barriers, I don't think there are nearly as many when it comes to hip hop or metal. Metal, very similar, but in terms of sonic barriers of this is a punk song versus this is not a punk song, punk has way more.
But see, that's debatable because we're just so the whole Screaming Females thing. Like, this is a punk song. You're like, that's not a punk song. So it's like, who's to say?
I like talking about this because there's clearly no answer.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing.
And it's so fun. Now, there are still, give me one current punk band that you actually enjoy besides your band.
There's a bunch.
Name one.
Oh, man. Hold on. I want to get a... Oh, fucking Iron Cages.
Iron Cages. Where are Iron Cages from?
They started out here, but half of them, I think, live in New York.
Okay.
And another half.
Why do you like Iron Cages?
Because
I'm looking up Iron Cages.
They are rippers.
Thank you.
Put on a great live show.
This sounds fun. I like this.
Yeah.
Is it all dudes?
No.
Oh, I'm liking it even more. Do you know who He Who Corrupts is?
No.
They don't exist anymore. Do you know who He Who Corrupts is?
No.
They're a hardcore band, and their whole thing was their corporate hardcore. So they would wear suits, and every song is about corporate mergers and stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
I like the subversive stuff, but that's not subversive because, once again, they're still all just five or six white dudes playing music super fast. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, but there's a whole scene of, like, there's this festival called a Break Free Fest,
okay,
which is all targeted towards like people of color and just like women, queers, and they hold it in Philly. UN Fest is the same, similar thing in Baltimore.
Yeah,
that just happened. I mean, there's, I guess it depends on the circles you run with or what you're looking at.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I just think that we need a new word.
Or to reclaim the word. I mean, Sina Farah, who works here, Brandon, she documents what she calls the punk community.
Yeah.
And it's like almost all...
She's like the photographer.
Yeah, like queer bands and female punk bands.
I'm not disagreeing, but we both know that that's not the norm. That's someone
that
that's
is the norm.
No, it's
maybe
not.
That, yeah, maybe what you're
nationwide,
calling punk is not punk because
Proud Boys are
listening to it and all this other shit. Maybe
listen,
that delegitimizes it as punk.
It's not... Yeah, you're not going to get these huge festivals like... what is that? Punk rock bowling or fucking anything like that. That's not what you're going to find at the circle. Like, I'm not going to that show. I know a bunch of Proud Boys will probably go to shows like that.
There we go. That's what I'm saying.
That's that whole corporate side of it. That's like, oh, yeah, we're funding the money for all these meatheads to come out and fucking continue this culture of spitting on people and fighting and shit. But then the punk shit I fuck with, like, no one's doing that. I mean, you might get some headwalkers at hardcore shows, but everyone's
like,
hold
on,
hey,
you said
cool.
Headwalkers? Yeah. What's a headwalker?
Well, like, hardcore shows and people just stage diving all the time. Okay. And just going nuts.
I've never heard that term. No. I'm showing my age. Have you ever heard the term headwalker?
No.
Okay, good. Did I offend both of you in this episode thus far?
No.
All right, cool. I still think we needed to do a new word.
No.
This the anti-Nazi word. What's the anti-Nazi punk word?
To me, punk is pretty fucking anti-Nazi in like the way I would imagine.
And that's how I used to think of it, too. And then I rewatched The Decline of Western Civilization in 2018.
But that's that specific scene.
I don't disagree.
That was L.A.
I don't disagree. But you could find you could find that scene probably anywhere in 1980 if there's a punk scene. And that's like the formation. You could trace a lot of what we're listening to now back to that. And that's why. Let's get the Nazis out from the start.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of macho shit in it, for sure.
Okay, so what Farrah is doing, awesome. Maybe Farrah should coin the word then, of a different style of punk.
Why would the good people need to come up with a new word? Why would, you know what I mean?
Because all the good people got to do all the things. What is wrong with you? The bad people don't do anything good. That's why they're bad. The bad people aren't going to coin the term of not Nazi. I just silence everyone, which is horrible.
I think there's Nazi punk and punk.
Why did the Nazis get any punk, though? That's the thing.
Because they claim it.
We got to need to get out of a new word then. No Nazis.
Nah, Nazis will fucking say like it's white. They have their own shit going on. Huh. And then they like to, I mean, they have a whole, what is that, screwdriver? It's like a huge Nazi band. And
here's the thing. I've dealt with a lot of this in the last 2 years. I had Christian Picciolini on You, Me, Them, Everybody, a show that you've been on multiple times. Thank you for that. He was the head of a white power organization in the 80s, and he's been on probably every network
that's
recently.
That guy milking that shit now.
That guy, it's his time. But we talked, I think, about a month before the election in 2016, and his book has gotten a lot more relevant. And we talked about Screwdriver, and we talked about this punk stuff. And at the time, it didn't feel nearly as important. But now it does.
Yeah.
And I know this is not this is not what people think about. Punk is not nearly as popular as it was even fucking 10 years ago. Warped Tour now is essentially known as a place for not safe for women. It's gone. That scene is gone, to my knowledge.
Wait, Warped Tour scene?
Yeah, like that type of thing. Like it's got it's
Hawaii's
really
got a weird
down. It's simmered down.
Punk scene because there's like a huge military presence there.
What do you think the tie is between the military presence and punk?
Young, angry people and fucking.
It is that simple.
Fast, hard music.
Do you find yourself listening to just as fast stuff the older you get?
No, I go all up. I love fucking stoner metal now, which 10 years ago I wouldn't have liked that. But
are you getting
now I love it.
Are you getting as high as you used to?
No.
You're getting more high?
No.
You're getting less high?
Probably less.
All right. Do you find yourself enjoying stoner metal more when you're high?
Yeah.
Good. What?
But I also have been getting really into Poison Idea, like old bands like that. And I always, and here's what brings me back to the whole punk thing, the idea that punk keeps itself in check. So if there's like something going, like they had their whole thing with Discord or Ian MacKay. They put that record out with a guy spreading his butthole and it just said Ian MacKay's name on the side. And they were just like bitter because, Ian MacKay gets a house from his parents.
So,
and then they're poor and drunk all the time over there in Oregon. And they're punks. So they're like, we're just going to fuck around and piss people off because we have our own beliefs.
I like that.
But they were still pretty like, we don't want to hurt other, like, fuck you and your authority and fuck blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, I don't know. But other people might take that shit as, fuck you for telling me I can't say this thing that hurts your feelings.
Do you find the scene in Washington, D.C. a lot different than Hawaii? Because just coming from Chicago, I find that this is way more politically correct scene.
Yes.
Is that good or bad?
Is. I like it because I've seen shows go off here. Like,
please
they're
expand.
Not boring.
Oh, that's good.
Like, Damage City Fest is a crazy festival.
Yeah.
And
do you find it weird that it's in a church?
I think that's cool as hell.
I don't disagree.
Because then they get to help help the community.
I'm throwing it out there. I wanted to bring it up. So we're talking about St. Stephen's. Last week was the punk rock flea market.
Yep.
There's a punk show there seemingly every weekend. Most weekends.
There's a lot of shows there, yeah.
Yeah. I've been to a handful. I'm assuming you've been to way more than a handful.
I've been to a few. Ian MacKay just played there on Sunday with his new band.
What a shock. It's fine.
I heard it was funny.
Like it's a joke band?
No, I don't know. My friend just said he's real funny.
Oh, yeah. He's good on stage.
I said, how's the band? He's like, they're cool.
And a lot of the stuff they do is thanks to people like Ian MacKay, because he helps champion causes like We Are Family.
Yeah.
And all this great stuff in Washington, D.C. It's about a half mile from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
That's a great part of it. That's a wonderful part of it. But is it as fun?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if not more fun, because like you don't have to worry. One of my biggest things was like even before Proud Boys were a thing, whenever I'd see skinheads and Fred Perry, that'd make me nervous.
Could I knew you explain that to people? Clearly, everyone knows what skinheads are. Fred Perry, though, please explain how Fred Perry got
it. Just looks
in
like
this.
A polo shirt. I get the skinhead community is all about it. I don't really know the whole thing.
Great.
I just know that there was a uniform with a group of guys who would all wear that, and they would come and start trouble.
And that was in Hawaii?
That was in Hawaii.
Have you seen any of that in D.C.?
I just kind of every time I see someone in one of those shirts, I'm always kind of like weird about it.
Okay. Overall, you're happy to be a punk.
Yeah.
You don't think it needs a new word?
No. I think just keep keeping shit in check.
Keep. All right, fine. Are you regretful for saying yes to the show yet?
No.
Good. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to plug your show.
Plug it.
At the next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
At Smash. Then we're going to play.
No, it's at.
There we go. We got to plug this shit.
Songbird. The Smash one already happened.
Okay, hold on. And then we're going to play a Chill Parent song. Is that right? Jack?
Yeah.
Thank you. Then we'll play a Chill Parent song. And then once that Chill Parent song is over, we'll do Best Weekend Bets. And then we'll close with a third Chill Parent song. Does that make sense?
Whoa.
So the next show is Friday, November 23rd at Songbird. Not even a block. No, it's a block away. It's around the corner from where we're sitting right now on 18th Street. It's a very, very popular. Are you upstairs, downstairs?
Upstairs.
You're upstairs. And it's going to be recorded?
No.
Okay, so this is, you got to come to see it to enjoy it.
It's just a regular punk
house
show.
It's a regular
punk
house show.
Four comics, one band.
There we go. Who's the band?
The Warhawks from New Jersey.
Fantastic. So that's on Friday, November 23rd. You're probably not working the 24th. You probably didn't work the day before. What time?
8:30.
Perfect time for a show. Here's a Chill Parent song, and we're going to come back with Best Weekend Bets. All right, Chill Parents, chillparents.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Is where you can find. I love the band name. Whose idea was the band name?
I first called it Parents, and then.
I actually like that too.
Yeah, I had a whole thing, and then someone was like, what if we said Chill Parents? I was like, okay. And
here's why I like both of those band names. You know, was it sports, and now it's Bad at Sports, or something like that?
I don't know.
What's that band, Jack? You might know. I think it's Remembering Sports now.
I don't know.
Hold on a second. There's a band that did this. Like, their name of their first album was called Sports. Well, that I just put in sports into Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
I don't know.
That's not helpful.
Narrow it right down.
There's
a
sports
this band?
Band. There's a band called Sports.
I'm going to go with, I think it's Remember Sports. Let's get this right. I don't like.
Yeah, Remember Sports. That's
yeah.
The band.
Yeah. From Gambier, Ohio.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, they used to be Sports. In November 2017, the band announced their name change from Sports to Remember Sports to avoid confusion with other bands named Sports, including the Oklahoma-based band Sports. Doesn't that make sense, Kevin?
Yeah.
Speaking of sports, this weekend's Best Weekend Bets are available on BrightishYoungThings.com. We release them every Thursday. sign up to the mailing list so you can get in before anybody else. That might be important to you if you attend any of BYT's events. A lot of our true crime shows sold out. Most every show at Benson Ball sold out, and we release those tickets first to people that are on the mailing list. Moving on, Thursday, that's tonight, our top three picks are that poutine pop-up. Did you hear about this poutine pop-up?
I've seen it.
Yeah, do you know about this poutine pop-up, Jack?
No, I did not know about
it. It's in DuPont Circle, and last night there was a line for over a half a block to get poutine.
Yeah. People love lines.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome to Washington, D.C., everybody.
It's
and then
Air Canada is doing it.
That's right. It's sponsored by Air Canada.
You can get a plane ticket good with your brand. Poutine.
Yeah, you got to...
Oh, my God.
No, about, you can't, really.
Yeah, you can't. They're giving away one trip a day, and you have to share it on social media.
Whoa!
So there you go.
All right.
If you have enough influencer followers, you could get a trip to Air Canada. Nothing means anything. If your mom is in town, you should definitely take her to Josh Groban and Idina Menzel at the Capital One Arena.
Oh.
Because parents like those people. And if you like your parents and have the funds, that'd be a nice thing to do, is to take them there.
Oh.
Does that make sense, Kevin?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. And then U.S. attorney that got fired by Trump, Preet Bharara, is at the Lincoln Theater. He's interviewing Chuck Todd for his Stay Tuned show.
Wow.
We're in a time where a U.S. attorney that got fired is able to interview someone in a sold-out Lincoln Theater.
I heard he's doing the Improv next week.
Deion Cole's at the Improv this weekend.
Yeah, he's opening up for him.
That's good. Yeah. Right, have you done the Improv?
No, they don't like me.
I would see that. Why not?
I don't know.
Do you like comedy clubs?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I like that.
I don't like going. I don't like two drink minimums. I think that's
it's weird.
Silly. It bums me out.
I don't like comedy shows. I like comics. I like people that run comedy clubs. I've had only good experiences with them. I don't like clubs, though.
It's a weird vibe.
It's a weird vibe. I think it's the idea.
They hoard you in. They seat you real close to other strangers.
They always feel dated. Like, the Improv knows what they're doing. Most of their shows sell out, but they still open with a Van Halen song. You know what I mean? Like, good for them, but, like, that's not for me.
Clubs do that. They have their song.
There's
also something about being in a room full of people that pay to laugh, and then they kind of, like, I feel like a lot of laughs get forced out.
Well, that's...
You paid that money. You got to get those laughs.
I get it, though.
You know what I mean, though, by that?
People need a release.
It's a weird vibe, though.
But that's, like not liking people that go to Michael Bay movies because they want to see stuff explode. Like, they want the disconnect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it. It's just not for me, and I know it's not for me.
Yeah.
You don't like Michael Bay movies?
No, every once in a while I do.
Okay.
I would like to think of one that I did enjoy, but I can't think of one.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter. Moving on to Friday.
Uh-huh.
Mitski plays a sold-out 930 club.
Oh.
Hey, do you like Mitski?
Yeah.
I like Mitski. Do you like Mitski?
I'm a fan.
I like Mitski, but like she's blatantly stealing from St. Vincent, right? Am I crazy? This new record.
She's a little harder than St. Vincent.
No, not musically. The whole image stuff and the videos. She's like doing the last St. Vincent record with David Lynch. That's...
Well, I don't know.
I've just come up like a real sexist man during this episode.
Really.
I'm standing by it.
You just sound like you know about both St. Vincent and Mitski.
Yeah, that's right. You can eat too many or the perfect amount of oysters at the Old Ebbett Grill's Oyster Riot 24. They've had 24 oyster riots and they're still standing.
Wait, what?
Good for them. Natasha Leggero is at the Arlington Draft House.
Hey, right.
That's another weird spot to see comedy.
I like that place.
It's a
weird place.
It's a weird spot because the seats are like office chairs, like comfy big office, like the kind of chairs the boss would sit in a 1980s film.
They're all the boss's chairs.
That's weird.
A bunch of them.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
All right. That's Friday. Saturday. You have a pick for Saturday.
Yeah. There's this great show called Meet Your D.C. Elected Officials at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Okay, are you part of it?
Yeah, I'll be there.
What time?
Out. It's at, doors are at 7, shows at 8, completely free. It's a comedy show. Comedy, elected officials, good times.
Perfect.
Great oldies.
Jack will be part of this. The art event of the month is the 15th annual Transformer Silent Auction and Benefit. It's at the Corcoran. The after party is here. And I don't know if you know this. You're DJing that after party.
Yeah, I am.
Did you know that?
I did.
Okay.
I don't see it billed anywhere, though.
It's billed on the email I got for it.
Oh, good. That's me. I'm doing it.
Hey.
But is the after party open to the public? There's, no information about the after party.
Don't think so.
I don't know. Do you know where it is?
I'll say this. If you're listening to this show, and if you're, a fan of Brandon Weatherby, you can come to the after party. We'll let you in.
Where is it?
Oh, it's here at the hotel downstairs in the banquet.
So I've not been to that room. So okay, so it's not just in the lobby.
No.
I thought it was in the lobby for
some reason.
Okay. So that's not a cheap ticket. That's the Corcoran. It's at the Corcoran. If you have the money, do that. Buy some art. Michelle Obama is at the Capital One Arena, and it's billed as an intimate conversation. Once again, Michelle Obama is at the Capital One Arena for an intimate conversation.
I like that she's doing small places.
Yeah, it's important to connect with the crowd. Sunday, our picks include, it's the last chance to see Beetlejuice at the National Theater. I interviewed the cast and creative team of Beetlejuice for this show.
How was that?
It was fun.
All right. They seem like nice people.
They do. They were nice people.
It's good.
Yeah. Christmas time is here.
Oh.
Some call it Xmas time.
Yeah.
A drag queen Christmas is at the National Theater.
Oh, right.
That's around the corner from the Warner Theater. No, sorry. No, they're at the Warner Theater. Beetlejuice is at the National Theater.
Oh.
I really hope some confused parents go to the wrong one.
Hey.
There might be a Beetlejuice number in the drag show.
Why not?
That's right. Yeah. Is Beetlejuice a Christmas movie? Is there a Christmas scene? I feel like there is. I haven't seen Beetlejuice in a
There's nighttime
Christmas.
In it.
There is nighttime. That's sort of Christmas.
Nighttime during Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. And Wild Nothing is at 930 Club. You could read our interview with Wild Nothing at brightestjunkthings.com. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm good.
As a human being, though. 1 to 10.
You know, I've been pretty cool with all the people I've interacted with. I'd give myself an 8 so far.
What do you have after this?
Probably get a nap in, maybe drink some coffee and not nap. I woke up at 4.
Why did you wake up at 4?
I had to be at work by 5.
Jesus, that sucks. So you got off of work at 11 a.m.
I did.
That sucks.
That's...
Did you, when you left for work, was it snowing out yet?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any, are you ready for snow? Have you?
Not, no. Okay, I have these Doc
Martens. You have Martins. Doc Martens.
But that's it.
Are you worried that those shoes are going to get too racist too soon?
No. I feel like they can't get any more racist.
Good. Chillparents.bandcamp.com. Punk House Comedy, November 23rd. It's Songbird. If people want to find information more about Punk House Comedy, where should they go?
You just look it up on the internet. Or you could go to kevint.it/punkhousecomedy.
Is that really your website?
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. I'll be at the Wonderland Ballroom on Friday, December 7th. It's our 10-year anniversary show.
Congratulations.
That'll be fun. Yeah, you're doing the show in January.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. And then I'll be at the Kennedy Center on December 12th for our holiday show, and that'll be fun too.
Ooh, good All times. Right.
Jack will be in the basement of the Line Hotel on Saturday night. Are drinks included at the event?
I think it's if you go to the auction, you're automatically invited to the...
Yeah, I know, but that's not what I asked.
Oh, I think so.
All right, cool, because that will determine how long you see me on Saturday evening.
Oh, good. I think drinks are included.
Because I live around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a lot cheaper there.
Yeah.
It's true.
So if you want to come over to that during your DJ set, because I think you end around 3.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to come at like 1 for like a drink, that's fine.
Cool.
You can't come at 3. That's just too late.
Probably.
You got anything fun this weekend?
That.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Are you going to wear a suit?
No, I won't be.
Okay. So you could wear, like, normal clothes.
I don't know what other people will be doing.
It'll be fancy clothes, because it's like a fancy clothes event.
I think so. It's what people like to get dressed up for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People sure do.
But everyone has a different definition of dress up, you know?
That's true. Do you ever have dress-up shows? Where you ask the crowd to get dressed?
Oh, no.
Oh, I think you should.
Oh, maybe.
That'd be fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be great if you could organize a rainbow of t-shirts.
A rainbow of shirts.
Like you have yellow, you have orange, you have red, etc.
Oh.
Like, and then you make them stand in a rainbow.
That's a lot of planning.
That's like 4 emails probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Need to
Could you have this
emails.
Shirt? Great, wear that shirt. Could you stand here? Yep, stand next to this guy. That's 4 emails.
Can you teach me how to email?
Yeah, got you.
All right.
We'll be back not next week because it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. That's a quote from Adam Sandler.
Oh.
Yeah.
His new special's funny.
His special's really good. Yeah. Have you seen it?
There's a new one?
It's like 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Was it a Netflix thing?
Yeah. It's like,
man, they got everyone.
Why the fuck? This shouldn't be good. It's really good. Apparently, Paul Thomas Anderson directed part of it.
Is it a stand-up special?
Stand-up special.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think he wrote it?
Oh, he definitely wrote it.
Yeah. Adam?
Yeah.
You think?
It's his. Oh, yeah. It's
got it in him? Yeah. That's cool.
He did two, and when he was recording, it was 2.5 hours long, and now it's got cut down to like 55.
Good.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
It definitely should have been.
It's remarkably good.
It's very fast. It's like bam, 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 bam.
There's a lot of it's like that Chris Rock special that was shot in 4 locations. It's like that, which is very weird. Like set up in D.C., punchline in Kansas City type of thing. It's very weird. Anyways, we'll be back whenever we're back. Go to BradyShankThings.com. Buy tickets to the Corcoran Ball. Hang out with Jack on Saturday night. The following Friday, see Kevin. Here's Chill Parents. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
Some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs. Bombs that were planted by racists. I remember from the time I was very small, I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.